Welcome to another episode of Spotlight with Shubham. I'm co-founder of Mastera, an all-in-one platform for coaches and trainers to run and scale their online knowledge business. Today on Spotlight, we have Clara with us. Clara helps moms of toddlers transform tension into connection with mind-body technique and coaching. Welcome, Clara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good, and we are excited to have you on the show today and really talk and dig into what you do and how you're helping the moms out there, which I know is a big need out there.
Yeah.
So with that, tell us about yourself, your journey, and how you got to be a coach.
Mm-hmm. I think most of us kind of stumble upon this journey when we are trying to solve our own problems. And my biggest problem my whole life was being very reactive towards myself, towards my husband, in relationships, like always kind of having that quick explosion and always getting triggered, but really not knowing what's happening, just kind of thinking I'm a really bad person, and always hoping to kind of fix myself and transform myself. And I was always quick to adopt any technique that would kind of make me better, or get rid of the badness in me. So I kept trying to become a better person, and I tried different strategies, religions, and meditations and therapy. And I actually landed in therapy after kind of crying the whole summer on my sofa. And every morning we were hoping that I will kind of miraculously wake up thinking, new day, I'm good. And just a lack of awareness of what's happening, of that became kind of a main avenue for me of exploration. And the first time I walked into therapy, I was like, I had a happy childhood. And I started talking, and I continued. And my therapist just looked at me with this like nice smirk on his smile. He didn't say anything. He was like, mm-hmm. And of course, within like the first 30 minutes, things were kind of coming out, and I was crying for the next, I would say, half a year. But what was really striking me is that really oblivious, things were great. How we are able to cope with pain by pretending everything's great and,
right,
doing all these strategies and things to not know, and how subconscious is so powerful in just like hiding it. And while I started, going down the journey, I realized, my childhood was not nice. It was very stressful. My parents were, very immature, very stressed from their own parenting, from their own experience. My grandparents went through genocide, through war, and it all transferred, it all trickled down to me through my parents' parenting. And I started to make that connection that the way I see parenting as just another relationship we have. We have the main important, the most important relationship I feel we have with ourselves, than with our loved ones and, our partners or our children. And I started to realize that there's a lot that can guide me on my healing journey if I look into the way I'm interacting with my husband or with my child. And that's kind of been the breaking and also liberating point on my journey.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. I want to dig a little deeper into that. So what type of, I'm curious now, what type of revelations and what type of insights you started to get into during that journey, and how that translated into now you helping other folks?
It started with And I'm still working on that, a new thought that I'm not a bad person and that I'm not a bad mom or broken person. That it started with that first steps towards compassion towards myself, mm-hmm. and towards softening the look, the way I look at myself, and losing that criticizing outlook, I guess, and changing more into softer and more of a learning, mm-hmm. than just, hey, this is, you're acting bad, you're doing this bad, you're such a, you know, horrible. You're starting to understand what I'm actually experiencing, that I'm not being a bad person, but I'm just being an extremely stressed person, and that the stress has been accumulating, and I just don't know how to deal with the chronic stress, and I don't know how to deal with the acute stress. So that was the biggest aha, that I'm not a bad person, and there's no such thing as a bad mom or.
Right. Okay, no, that's great. And with that parenting coaching that you do, was there a reason why you were, this journey is great, but also was there a reason why you were like, okay, now I want to become a parenting coach? Mm-hmm. The way you learned it, I can understand that it was more of a stumbling thing and you kind of stumbled onto those learnings, mm-hmm. Kind of thing. But was there sort of a thought process that, okay, now I want to be into this full-time parenting coach?
I think there's two layers of it. The first, I think, subconscious layer is that when my grandmother, she had to escape her home country because there was a civil war, and she took with her another group of children, I guess 30, 40 children, and they took them and they traveled with them for years until they found refuge in another country. And took care of them. And my uncles grew up in like children's refugee homes. And my mother went to like children's boarding nursery school. So very harsh conditions for children. And I think hearing those stories as a, you know, my whole life made me want to help,
sure.
help children and parents who didn't really experience great childhood. You know, for a variety of reasons. And most of it is like, there's some type of a trauma in the family that just, it's not resolved and it keeps going. We just keep generating the stress. And that was that, I think, first layer that led me through this pathway to, hey, you know, I have a tool that I could actually break that cycle and I could help the families get a fresh start and build their family the way they would want to. Mm-hmm. And then I think the second one is that I feel like genuinely inspired by children, by their abilities to see joy in life and to be playful and to enjoy the simple but very profound lessons we can actually learn from life. And if we let them to show us, to guide us, they will always kind of guide us toward, you know, I say towards the light, but what I mean is towards bettering ourselves and mm-hmm. towards living more joyful lives. So I think that's why I'm kind of working in this field.
No, that's very deep kind of thought there. That's interesting. And one thing I'm hearing you say that kind of a few times is sort of that thought of trauma getting passed over generations. So mm. this is something I feel like you have found and discovered, and you're a strong believer in that the trauma and those things pass through multiple generations.
Yes. I've seen it in my family, and I've seen it in my husband's family, because most of Europeans have that Second World War. But then I've seen it in other, you know, nationalities that are struggling with some type of conflict or social tragedies that they are dealing with. And that stress we carry with us as humans. And then mm-hmm. when your child is born into that stress, stress kind of disconnects you from yourself. You have to make it, you have to survive. So something has to go. you lose part of yourself, part of your soul, part of your spirit by coping with harsh, you know, with harsh life. And then if you don't have a chance to recover, to fully heal, then that disconnect part of you will be transferred to the relationship you have with everybody, with yourself, with your, you know, with your loved ones, with your children, and then your children carry your stress that way with them. And I find toddlerhood is like the most important time of,
yeah,
of life. You kind of are forming, you're forming the your neural pathways, you're forming your view of what's safe, how to interact with people, how to interact with yourself, your self-value, your worth. And you know, 0 to 6, that's where most of the magic happens and most of the things that then we deal with them the whole life, all our lives, we're trying to correct them happen. So, you know, I figure that's really a neat place to start dealing with the trauma and stress that's been inherited.
Now that makes sense. Now, another thing I'm curious on that is, like, from your coaching standpoint, do you work with parents mostly?
Yes.
Because, and which is kind of a little bit obvious, because working with toddlers will be very difficult to coach them. but at the same time, my question is that if let's say there's a stress that has been passed on to a toddler, and toddler is, let's say, 5 years old now, mm-hmm. and there's this generational sort of stress or trauma that has been passed off a little bit, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, then how do we fix that? So two parts of my question. One is, you work with parents, but if you work with parents, how does that get fixed if something has mm-hmm. already been passed?
So it depends, you know, it depends. If, let's say, you realize you're the parent and you've been dealing with some, you know, stressful situation in life currently, or, you know, something from your past or the way you were parented, and now you have a chance to look at things and you have a chance to kind of restart the way you parent, then even if you know, whatever you passed, we all do, like, you know, it's impossible to just kind of, oh, you know, I'm just gonna be a Dalai Lama here and not have any problems. And
it's
how we heal together, I would say. So even if you passed things to your child, then it's how you look at it. And as soon as you become aware of it, as soon as you start working with it, your child starts healing with you. They walk with you. They learn from you. They are in your energy field. And the younger, the bigger of an impact you have on them, you know, emotionally. And when they are learning how to emotionally regulate, you know, aka deal with the world, deal with stress, deal with emotions, they don't learn that in kindergarten or from a book that you read before they go to bed. They learn that from you, the way you deal with life. Mm-hmm. So if you, you know, have a chance to revisit the way you've been parented and revisit the way you deal with emotions now and start dealing with them in a healthy way and process your life in a new way, deal with your subconscious triggers, and your child will see that and will start to model after you. So there's never, you know, a late time to hop on that and get into the healing mode.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense, because kids are fast learners and they're like very keen observers. So to your point, if you bring in that change through your coaching, if parents are bringing in that change in their behavior and how they're dealing, slowly kids are also going to change, and they're going to sort of pick up on those minor things.
Because I try to kind of, my one thing, like, if you could do one thing, it's every time you're feeling there's a tension building, or you're feeling stressed with an interaction with your child, then it's starting to look at those moments as what's the one unhealed thing within me that's causing this reaction in me. And then, you know, because initially you're like, oh my God, there's so much I went through, or I don't even know where to start, and it's so overwhelming. And then if you just go one by one, then few of them are bundled together. Your neurons are creating all these different maps. So if you collapse one massive keystone of that area, then you can move on. And you know, it's a very intricate and elaborate system. But you know, every time there's tension, then look for that unhealed thing within you, heal that, and then form connection from that.
Got it. That's amazing. That's pretty scientific sort of structured approach to this as well. That's great. So with that, just maybe wanting to understand a little bit on the business side of things as well. So when did you start coaching and kind of officially, when was the starting of your first client and first few clients that you
started? I started 10 years ago, and I started by focusing more on the ADHD, you know, parenting, parents with ADHD children. And yeah, then, you know, I had my own child, and then I shifted back to this format to work with the younger population.
Got it. And then with that, what are your some thoughts, suggestions on for someone who's just starting out, wanting to get new clients and things like that? So how did you deal with it, and any suggestions on that?
Well, you know, I don't want to now sound that I have everything figured out, because I don't. Mm-hmm. But if I would follow like three rules that really help, is to really, really like be niche specific. So you know who you're talking to, like laser specific. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, me, it's moms, toddlers, stressed. A lot of us want to help everybody, and it's really hard to do that when everybody... When you look at Instagram, the most successful Instagram accounts are specific within something. Unless you are Kim Kardashian or, you know, Justin Bieber, you can promote anything and everybody will buy it. But I would say be specific and then cater to those yeses. Like, get used to that there's 95% of people that will say no, and that's totally fine. They're not your clients, but just spoil those 5% and don't spend any energy on the rest, because then you would easily, you know, burn out. And then regarding getting clients, like, look within your, obviously, you know, the network you have, and start talking to people, start practicing talking and doing your elevator speech with everybody you know until you're tired of it, until they're, please stop, don't talk to me anymore. But, you know, get that out of your system, get that stress, nervousness, whatever it is that you are experiencing, doubts. Like, we all doubt ourselves. We are all scared. We are all perfectionists. So that's okay. You know, just walk, join this community of people who are insecure and unsure of ourselves, but who are doing it anyway. So just, you know, walk the path, even if you're stressed and worried. Just pick the smallest one thing you can do. Do little steps at a time, you know. Have big goals, great, but achieve those big goals by doing the little ones. And when you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, just know that we all do, and it's part of the journey. And just have a person or community where you can get help, or, you know, talk to someone who's dealing with the same thing. And just know it's all of us. It's not just you.
Right. No, that makes sense. Yeah, that most of us, when they're starting out, we're scared. We're doubting ourselves that, hey, what's going to happen? But I think a part of that, what you're saying, is also taking a leap, kind of trusting.
Yeah, and trusting, you know, it's super overwhelming, because when you are looking, researching your keywords or your competition, everything that usually comes up, it's like an established business that's been, you know, that has thousands of followers, and you're like, oh, how can I? Well, they started from 0.02. So just, you know, get inspired, but don't compare yourself. Like, don't fall into the rabbit hole. Like, I'll never get that good, or I'll never be there. It's so hard. And just don't let that, to, you know, also, not everybody who has a great website has actual clients. And, you know, don't compare your services, don't compare your price points, just be firm. What you want, what you feel is right, like charge more than less and go for the big clients. Don't lose time and energy on people who do not want to be your clients.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah, because coaching, it's sort of a service connection, giving a lot of energy there. So it's not something that you want to do or anyone wants mm-hmm. to do with someone or for someone who doesn't value or care about it. So that makes a lot of sense. On the marketing side of things, you were touching on that. So talk to us about it. I know that you have on your website, you have sort of a few things that people can download and stuff like that. So any thoughts around that, how to structure that, and any suggestions around that?
Yeah. So on my website, for example, because I work with parents, I have a guide to, you know, five steps to parent without stress, and they can download the guide. It's on my website. I guess we can put it in the notes, but you want the clients to find something that you offer to them in a way that you can start the conversation with them, and then have some type of an email system to get to know them better and have them decide if they want to work with you or not through, you know, an offer or some small offer, just to kind of get a sense who, what's, then you can start learning from them what they actually need. And you can get that, you know, that way of through your website and through your social media, but that's a very treacherous way. It takes a long time and it's super mm-hmm. exhausting. So I find it easier if you start looking into partnerships, like, can I join someone who already has some type of a audience and offer them something that, you know, they would be excited to share with their audience, help them out that way. And then, you know, start this way. I find it easier than just going from point zero, which is, you know, very, very hard.
Yeah. Makes sense. And that lead magnet, sort of that download thing that you have, it's sort of also can be called as a lead magnet.
Right. Also. Yeah.
So that's a smart way of capturing someone's attention. And yeah. if that can be promoted, like you were saying, through partnerships or mm-hmm. other things, that in itself is something that can bring in new clients. A question on that one. So right now, or maybe once you started it out, after that, what has been your sort of the key channel of acquiring clients and things like that? Has it been social or referrals and things like that? So just
it's
curious.
Been these partnerships. It's been partnership. You know, getting directly in front of audience that's already been primed, that's already interested in what I do. So partnership with someone who's doing something similar, but not specifically the same thing, and find something that would help their niche. So, you know, for me, it's people who work in yoga, fitness, mindful techniques, you know, all these other avenues for moms who are searching for solutions, or meal preps, you know, all these kinds of ideas. If you're a software person, or, you know, you do teaching, you do language teaching, then you can always look for people who do software or who mm-hmm. have something to say, and then merge together and offer something that their audience would benefit from.
That's pretty smart. So partnership route, I think it's pretty smart suggestion there, because mm-hmm. like you said, they already have an audience, and just sort of work with them for yeah. some sort of co-marketing activities. For example, like this podcast in itself is
right. Yeah, that's a partnership.
Yeah, kind of thing. So some sort of webinars, mm-hmm. Co-authoring some ebooks and things like that.
Exactly.
From partnerships.
Yeah, you gotta get creative, but then it's kind of fun because these people are already interested in doing something to better themselves. So you're not, you know, searching for the fish somewhere in the middle of the ocean. You're already going to a fishery where they are kind of
yeah
ready to eat.
right. No, that's pretty smart. Okay, no, that makes sense. And on the partnership side, do you also partner with like other coaches, or is it mostly with other brands kind of thing?
With coaches, I partner with people who have the same like philosophy, I would say, but maybe teach it in a different way. So that way, because in anything you do, especially parenting, you can find like a lot of things that you don't agree with. You're like, okay, that's not gentle, that's not kind. Like, obviously your child will listen to you if you yell at them and, you know, shut them in the room. They will be trained not to do things eventually. But, you know, I kind of steer away from that. So I look for people who are in the gentle, kind and, you know, attachment style. And then I find people there who would want to maybe do something with me on a, like a live or a reel or some type of a webinar that we could, you know, partner together.
Okay. That makes sense. And that I think also helps with just the networking aspect within the coaching industry. So you're kind of getting connected with other coaches there.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot, you know, there's a lot you can learn and you can support each other. And if it's just to feel that someone is doing something the way you are and feeling good about your approach and having a validation that it's working. So, you know, not all of us is like a crazy competition going after you. We can also help each other grow. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think specifically this coaching industry is a lot less competitive, because I was actually talking to someone and we were just talking about it, that there is a shortage of coaches actually right now. So it's not like there are tons and tons of coaches out there and they're not able to find clients. It's like a lot of people need help in a lot of different ways and we don't have enough good coaches. So so I think there is a lot less competitiveness, just inherent competitiveness within coaches, because you guys can find a lot of folks easily. So working together, I think, makes a lot of sense there.
Right.
Awesome. Well, that's amazing advice. So that's great advice for someone who's just starting out or just probably maybe stuck somewhere and they're wanting to sort of grow. Any other sort of parting advice and thoughts, suggestions for coaches out there?
I would say, even in coaching, look for the unhealed thing. Whenever you are facing doubts, go deep and look for the unhealed thing that might be showing up for you. Heal that and move on.
That's very interesting. So you're saying that even if you're a coach, you may from time to time find out things that you may need to improve yourself.
Oh my goodness. It's like, you know, we are emotional beings. We are, I don't know if it's like 80-20, 90-10. We are highly on the emotional scale. So you find so many mindset coaches and they are not there for, it's not an accident. It's because whenever you are running a business, you are walking the path and testing the relationship you have with yourself. And the challenges are reminding you often what needs to happen for you or what you should look at. So, you know, it's not like you, just because you are a coach, you are now immune to life.
That makes sense. Yeah. Human beings, endless learning. It's a path of learning and exploration. Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, with that, Clara, it was great talking to you today, and thanks for sharing all of your experiences and knowledge, and also on the business side of things, sharing those tips and suggestions for the coaches out there. I wish you all the luck, and what you're doing is phenomenal. And it's a great service for the parents out there and for the community out there, because kids are our future. So you're kind of directly and indirectly working on fixing our future. So it's a great job there, and good luck with that.
Thank you so much for having me.